Thank you. Good day, friends. Again, we come to you with studies in the New Testament, and we are in Paul's letter to the Galatian church, and we've just been talking about introduction to this blessed book of Galatians, where the Apostle Paul was so concerned about these Christians in that part of the world because they had been led astray by false teachers who came from Jerusalem and who sought to turn them away from the sufficiency of Christ. And they declared that the Apostle Paul didn't belong to the apostles. He was not one of the 12. He was an independent who went out his own way, and hence they were opposed to him and intimated that Paul was not giving them the truth as it is in Christ. Well, the result was that Paul, in these first two chapters, he must defend his apostleship and then his message. And he cannot defend his message without, first of all, proving his apostleship. So we have this in these first two chapters. But first of all, we have the introduction to the epistle in the first 10 verses, where Paul takes up his authority and his message very briefly. And in the first verse of this chapter, we read the first chapter, Paul, an apostle by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Again, I want you to notice that he was not an apostle made by man, nor by any local church. We're going to find that before we get to the end of this first chapter, as well as chapter 2. But he insists, first of all, that he was called by God the Father. And he was called by Jesus Christ, the one who was raised from the dead. And Paul is very insistent on this fact, that he received his apostleship and his message from a risen Christ, not from any group of men. He didn't go to school to learn his message. God gave to him by divine revelation the wonderful message of the grace of God, and he was called by a risen Christ, which we have here in the first verse. And again, may I repeat what I said in our past lesson. The law has had nothing to say since our Savior has died on the cross. The law is until the cross. And from there on, God has a message to give to men, a good news of deliverance from even the very curse of the law. As you find in chapter 3:13, you remember, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. The trouble is that the legalists will not allow that all the law can do is curse. Remember this. I'm going to be saying this over and over again. The law cannot do anything else but curse. The law doesn't fit you to walk before God. The law demands righteousness. The law demands sinlessness. The law makes demands which you cannot fulfill. And I know you're going to ask the question, why did God give us the law? Just to prove yourself helpless, to show you what you really are. The law was given to give a distinctive character to sin. The law can't do anything for you, my friend, except curse you. It's a ministration of death. So he says in verse 1 again, he's an apostle from a risen Christ. And then he adds, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Notice, all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. In other words, I'm not standing alone in this matter. All the brethren are with me in what I have to say. They know that I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then his usual salutation in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, I needn't say it, I'll just say it, but I won't stress it, that peace is always the resultant of grace. And where there is no grace, there cannot be any peace. My friend, let's face it, peace is the resultant of grace. Therefore, being justified by faith, says Paul in Romans 5:1, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And how are we justified? By faith, by grace. Now we come to verse 4. What an amazing verse. This risen Christ who called me also delivered me from my sins. Or as the verse reads, Jesus Christ who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and the Father, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen. Will you notice the fourth verse, a wonderful verse? This risen Christ hath delivered us, first of all, from our sins. His work is sufficient. He gave himself. Nothing need to be added. Nothing can be added. Nothing must be added. He gave himself. Can you add to that, my friend? And this is really the key of the epistle. He gave himself. All that he is, he gave for us and for you and for me. We might be delivered from our sins. He gave himself for our sins. This wonderful Savior. It's a voluntary offering. He died because of our sins. May I remind you of 2 Corinthians 5:21? He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You take that wonderful book of Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The very first message in your New Testament, in the Gospel through John, verse 29, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." In fact, the very first promise in the whole New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, what do we read? "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." In 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, where the apostle says, "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins." In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, "He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, "This man by one sacrifice for sins forever sat down at the right hand of God." Hebrews 1:3, "When he had by himself purged our sins in his own body." In 1 Peter 2, 23 and 24, "He himself bare our sins in his own body on the cross." And one can multiply these passages. Suffice to say that the risen Christ who called the Apostle Paul into the gospel ministry was the one who delivered him and us from our sins. This is why he came. He gave himself. And I'd like to press that. My Christian friend, please, please don't add any of your works to the work of Christ. Isn't Christ a sufficient sacrifice? Isn't Christ sufficient for your sins? Didn't he bear all your sin? Didn't he put away all your sin? Please don't spoil it by coming along with your works and adding it to the work of Christ. He gave himself. That's enough. And the second chapter, verse 20, where Paul says, "Who loved me and gave himself for me." And not only so, but to deliver us from this present evil world, or this present evil age. And remember, you are never, never delivered from this present evil age by anything that you can do. Is nothing short of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen Son of God, who can deliver you from this present evil age which is under judgment. Remember that Corinthians chapter 4, the second book and the fourth verse says, "The God of this world hath blinded the minds of those who believe not." It's an evil world, and Satan is its prince, and Satan is its God, and Satan is its power. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14 says, the last chapter of the same book, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me and I to the world." Between the believer and the world stands the cross of Christ. Oh, listen, Christian friend, when you and I accepted the Savior, He not only put away our sins, but he took us out of the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his blessed Son. He redeemed us from this present evil world, this present evil age. It's an evil age. And Satan is its prince and its god. And he is the one who energizes the unsaved. You find that in Ephesians chapter 2, 2 and 3. And this is the key of the whole book. Jesus Christ gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. It was the will of God that Jesus Christ should come and bear away our sins in his own body on the cross. And at that same cross he defeated Satan and all the cohorts of hell. And when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior, we were immediately delivered from our sins and from this present evil world. My, what a message. And I must add this, nothing else can deliver you from sin and from this present evil world. There's not a philosophy of man. There's not a religion of man. There's not a doctrine of man. There's not any work of man that can deliver you and me from our sins and from this present evil world. There's only one person who can do that. And Jesus Christ gave himself to deliver us from this present evil world. My friend, is this risen Christ your Savior? Have you been joined to this one who put away your sin, who delivered you from this present evil world, and who guarantees his salvation by resurrection? I would urge upon you to accept, to put your trust in this Savior, a complete, perfect, eternal, satisfying Savior. Oh, do that today, will you? And Christian friend, as we read the book of Galatians, and will you read it through every day? Please do that if you can. It won't hurt you. So your mind will be absolutely filled with the text as we discuss it day by day. And the Lord bless you today for his name's sake.